I can honestly say that one of the best decisions I ever made in my life was to go to Mexico.
Amen.
The Lord has just richly blessed me. I write Linda all the time, still rejoicing.
Amen.
Still rejoicing. Amen. And Brother Mike says, tried to bring out to it, it's not us. You know, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain.
Amen.
And brother, we are privileged to see God move. You know, I read about Hebrews 11, we hear about people that accomplish some things, but you read the last part of that. They never saw the promises.
That's right, brother.
They never saw them. And yet they remained faithful.
Amen.
And here God has blessed us with an opportunity. You know, there were some years that we thought, well, maybe not. Maybe we're going to be that last chapter. Part of the chapter there. But you know, God has begun to move, and we're so thankful for that.
Amen.
To see God move and touch hearts. You know what our ministry is? It's people.
That's right.
It's people like Brother Hector. Amen. We're trying to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd just like to say, Brother, you can tell we're a good team because he took half my message, and so I won't need to repeat that.
You get it right.
But I'd just like to say we have a vision. And our vision is we want to do something real. I mean, the people already, they're full of hypocrisy. They've got a religion that can do nothing for them. It can't change their lives. It can't deliver them from their sin. It can't give them peace. It can't give them hope. They're just the people of despair, much like here. The only difference is they speak Spanish down there. That's the only difference. The people are the same. They have a different religion. There's more Catholics down here maybe than San Antonio, but the heart's the same. They're still condemned. They still need a Savior.
Amen.
They're still wasting their money on doctors that cannot help them and whatnot. So our vision is we want to establish something real in Mexico. And not only something real, something lasting. Something that when we leave, it's still going to be there. We don't want to write back and glorify ourselves. We don't want to come here and tell you some things that aren't real. We don't want to boast ourselves above measure. We want to give you reality. I want to give you truth. Look in your will in the book of Acts in chapter 2. I should say chapter 3. I'd like to read this. He says in verse 1, Now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his brother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
Amen.
And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as a lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? Let's pray, brother. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for an opportunity to be here and to preach your word. Lord, I pray the saints here tonight would be encouraged. And Lord, that we'd all get a heavenly vision. And Lord, that we would seek your face and do your will. And Lord, as Brother Dale said this morning, that we'd be submissive unto the potter's hand. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to walk in your will. We commit this meeting into your hand. We give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this man, he says in verse 2, that from his mother's womb he was lame. From his mother's womb. And you know, that's just like sinners. From their mother's womb they were lame. The day Adam sinned, we've been lame. We've been condemned in Adam before we were born. And we come out sinners. Destitute of the glory of God. Short of the glory of God. And you know, I find this man, they bring him to the temple daily. You know what I think the temple is? I think it's religion. They bring condemned man daily to the temple. You know, they have a good idea. It's not that they're denying God. And I dare say the majority of people in the world know there's a God. It's only the educated fools that don't know there's a God.
Amen.
And it's only people that got education that have convinced themselves and educated themselves to become fools. But the majority of people know there's a God.
Amen.
I mean, you go to all parts of the world and they believe in God. Now, they might have a misconception of who God is or what God is, but they believe in a God. And so they know if there's a man born lame from the womb, that he's got, that this God has to be found in religion. Because religion is what talks about God. And here they bring this lame man daily to the temple, expecting something, no doubt. No doubt this man was expecting something, but I want you to notice something. He was a lame man, and what was he asking for? He was asking for money. He was asking for a little bit of food, a little bit of substance for his daily living. I wonder if the very first time they brought him to religion, he asked for alms. I can't help but the first time he went there, he said, "Heal my body. Man, if there be a God, heal my body. I want to walk. I don't want to be a beggar. I want to be able to walk on my own 2 feet." But he realized that in this religion that they brought him to, he was never going to be healed. And so he gave up on religion. He gave up on the afterlife and just said, "Okay, give me a little bit of alms." And brethren, I've seen religious people that have given up on the everlasting life. They've given up on the life to come and are looking for the life here and now. They've given up on a future because they realize that, hey, religion ain't got it. People ain't dumb when it comes to religion. Oh, they're blind and they're in a sense ignorant, but brethren, they realize religion ain't got it. And so they become religious because, well, that's part of life. I mean, it's my daily ritual. I go to the temple every 8 days to the Mass. Or every week I go to the Mass. My daddy did it, so I'm going to do it. And it becomes a tradition. Why are you a Catholic? My daddy was Catholic. Well, why was your daddy a Catholic? Well, his daddy was a Catholic. Why are you a Protestant? Well, my daddy was a Protestant. Why are you a Methodist? Well, my daddy was a Methodist. Why are you a Buddhist? Well, my daddy was a Buddhist. And brother, these people in the world have come to tradition, and they're just going through the rituals, not expecting any great miracle from God. And when God's men come, are they saying, "Would you give me a healing?" No, they ask the same thing. They want some money. And brother, when we go to Mexico, do they ask us when they see the gringos, they see the Americanos, they see the white man, do they say, "Are you bringing us the message of salvation?" No. "You guys are rich, give me some money, man." "What you got for me? Give me your car, man. I want your car." We was out preaching one night. Man says, of course, this is typical. It happens almost every time you go out and preach. Man was sitting there, fairly well dressed, had a watch on. He says, "I want that car." I said, "You want that car? Why is that?" He said, "If you really love me, if you love your neighbors yourself, you'd give me that car." I said, "Sorry, Phil, it ain't mine." "You can talk to Mike, that's his car." But I said, "I'd like your watch." "I mean, if you're gonna put that on me, I'd like your watch." He says, "Well, you don't have a watch." "No, I don't have a watch. I'd like one." I said, "Why did you want the car?" She says, "I don't have a car. I think you ought to give me one." I said, "Well, I don't have a watch. Give me your watch." But they didn't want to do that, see. See, it only works on one side. But you know, here's a man born lame from his mother's womb. He needed something. He needed something. And it's not something that religion can do. I think of that woman that had the issue of blood. And so the Bible says she spent all that she had on doctors. You know, I think of religious people spending all that they've had on religion. I read the story of Hudson Taylor, his Spiritual Seekers, before I came up. A Buddhist man, he tried, I don't know all the religions of China, Buddha, Mohammedism, I don't even know. I confess on my ignorance. Confucius. This man had tried all the religions. He tried it all. And he was a doctor of his religion. And he come to Hudson Taylor. Yes, God saved him. God opened his eyes. And God changed his life. And he says to Hudson Taylor, he says, "Mr. Taylor," he says, "how long have you had this Jesus in your country? I mean, did your daddy know about Jesus?" "Yes, my daddy knew." "Did your grandfather know about Jesus?" "Yes, he knew." He says, "Mr. Taylor, I want to tell you something. All my life I've sought for the truth. I've tried every religion looking for the truth. And finally you've come. But Mr. Taylor, I want to tell you something. My daddy also looked all his life and he never found it." And brother, there's something that the world needs today. It's the truth. Amen. They need reality. Amen. And so when we go to Mexico, we don't want to give them another religion. There's bastante. There's enough religion in Mexico. There's enough religion in the world today. They need Jesus. They need the power of God. And my Bible says the gospel of God is the power of God. The glorious gospel has power to change lives. They need something real, something lasting, something that's going to change their lives. Religion can't help crippled men. There's no way. You know what I've seen in Mexico? Alcoholics Anonymous has more power to change a drunkard than all the religions of Mexico. I mean, these people are born Catholics. They were baptized Catholics. They go to Mass. And you know, they join this group. They're almost every corner, almost as plentiful as the temple. They realize themselves there's more power in this organization than their own religion. Somebody quoted to me Pope John Paul. He says, the second greatest spiritual force in the world today is Alcoholics Anonymous. By his own, out of their own mouths, they condemn themselves. Religion can't help a crippled man. How many times had religion walked past this man? And then they could never bring him into the temple. Just have to stand out there begging for alms. Could never give him anything. Then God's men come. You know, I don't think that Peter and John were specifically looking for this man. But they ran across him. And they took that opportunity to deal with his need. And brethren, that's about how it goes. We are out there trying to do the will of God. I was talking to the brother today. Does every man need to be a missionary? I said, well, brother, that all depends. In what sense you're talking about? Does every man need to quit their physical job or their job that they're working at and go to somewhere else and preach? No. And brethren, I think there's a misconception among many believers. They think that, you know, they're not really serving God unless they're doing it 24 hours a day. And then let me tell you something. There's some truth to that. You're not really a missionary unless you're serving Him 24 hours a day. The misconception is, well, because I drive a truck, I'm not a missionary. Or because I stock groceries, I'm not a missionary. Or because I'm a housewife, I'm not a missionary. Brethren, that's not true. You are a missionary where you're at. I was telling this brother, you are going to reach some people I'll never meet. Peter and John, they ran across the man. Who knows if they would ever met him before? Who knows if anybody else, doesn't say Thomas ran across them. Doesn't say the other disciples ran across them. But it says these two men ran across this man and they seized upon the opportunity. They saw the need of the man and what did they give him? They gave him what he needed. And brethren, that's what we need to do. We need to give them what they need. Let me tell you something, brethren. They don't need new shoes. They don't need nice houses. They don't even need water lines to their houses. A lot of them don't have. They need Jesus.
Amen.
That's their need. They need something real. I wonder how many religious men walked past this man. I wonder how many religious men walked past this man and said, you lack faith. I mean, if you really believed, you'd been healed. Your problem is, you lack faith. Oh, brother, how many times I've heard that. Oh, the reason you're not healed, the reason you're having this problem is because you lack faith. Let's look at something. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I knew Peter was a missionary. Here's his testimony right here. That proves it conclusively that Peter was a missionary. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I want you to know that there was no matter of waiting a few days. There was no matter of, brother, you're really healed, you just can't see it. This man got up. And just to prove it, he did some dancing.
Amen.
The Bible says he leaped and he praised God and he walked. And he says he walked twice. I want you to know, brethren, people talk about miracles. I believe in miracles, but I only believe in real miracles. I don't believe in fairy tales. I don't believe in stories. A woman came into the Bill's home. It's amazing how many people give this testimony. What a tragedy. We were talking with her. We were dealing with her son. She came in from Guadalajara. And her son, there's no telling. He's probably a murderer. He was in jail. Just all sorts of, just a wicked man. We were dealing with her son. We got him to come out to the meetings. And his mother came up. She was a Christian. And she came and we began dealing with her. Well, ma'am, when did you come to know the Lord as your Savior? And she says, you know, She said, I got healed years and years ago. I said, now how is that answering my question? I said, when did you come to know the Lord as your Savior? Well, she says, I got healed years and years ago. And she began to explain to us her story. She had a running sore. I don't even know what they call them. Just a sore just ran. Just right down her leg. She says, the Lord gloriously healed me. How many years ago was it? She told us 12, 15 years ago, the Lord had gloriously healed her. You know, we sat there. While she's giving this testimony, the pus was still running out her leg. Bill says, but sister, she said you was gloriously healed. But look, she says, oh, but it's smaller now. And brethren, this is the hope that people have today. That's not being cured. That's not being healed. That's religion. I tell you, when God comes in, they are completely healed.
Amen.
I want you to know, the Pentecostals of today and religions of the world today say, oh, it's because you lack faith. Tell me, brethren, how did Lazarus believe?
That's right.
Tell me. He was dead. Amen. 4 days he was dead. Amen. It's the power of God.
Amen.
Brother, we want to give them something real. We don't want to, how can I say this? We don't want to give them an illusion. We don't want to tell them, make them think that everything's okay. And you know the power of positive thinking. Just think it's all right, it'll be all right. Just think you're going to heaven and you don't have to fear hell. No, brother, we want to give them deliverance.
Amen.
Brother, we want to give them something real.
Amen.
Just this month, a religion, no doubt they preach the gospel. I've talked to the pastor myself, a sincere man, but deceived, even as a Christian. They had a boy with leukemia. The doctors were dealing with him. And I don't know everything about leukemia, but they expect him to live quite a few years. They can treat it. They realize that eventually they'll die. But they weren't overly fearing for this boy's life. It wasn't something that was imminently going to happen. He was going to die. And so they had him on medication. And they were treating him. But as he came to the service, he said, brother, they told him, listen, we're going to heal you in the name of God. We're going to heal you. Throw away your medicine. Throw away your doctors. Only believe. I want you to know that boy died because of religion. Brother, we want to give them something real. Something that we don't want to deceive them. We don't want to give them enticing words. We don't want to give them soft words. We want to tell them the truth. We want to show them the power of God. And brother, if you've got the power to heal, then heal. Mike and I walked in to a home. There lay a little child in the home. They don't have funeral parlors down there. They bury them themselves. They leave the body right there in the home. They put flowers all over it and dress it all up and put candles around it, and then they bury it. They have a vigil 24 hours around this little child. And as we were coming down the street, we happened upon some women. We noticed that there was a large gathering there. And they began to tell us that this little child had died. And we asked if we'd come in and pray for the family. But I thought, well, man, you know, here's a perfect opportunity for some people that say they got the gift of healing. Don't you know that when I raised that child, raised him from the dead, that Uncle Oni will believe and come to God? Don't you know the Bible says after this, 5,000 believed. But you know what, brethren? They're clouds without rain, making vain promises.
Amen.
To these people. Brother, if you've got something, then let's see it. Look over in Acts chapter 4, verse 16. I should say 15. 14. He says, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it.
Amen.
These were the enemies of God. These were the enemies of the gospel. These were the enemies of Jesus Christ. And they could say nothing against it. I want you to know, brethren, I am for Christians. I am for Pentecostals. And you know what? I can say some things against what they're doing. They deceive the people. Fraud. Open fraud. And what a crying shame. And here are the enemies of God. They couldn't deny it.
Brethren,
you got power to do miracles. If it be of God, even the enemies could not deny it. Much less your friends, those that are for you. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say there are some sincere believers that are not walking in truth. That are not walking after the counsel of God. But are doing great disservice to our Lord. And that's why when we come with a message of salvation, it's all just another religion. I spoke to an old lady, and I should say an elderly lady. She was up in years. She says, you know, she says, I've been living many years. You can tell that. Yes, ma'am, I sure can. You've been around quite a few years, just a few more years than Lindell. I can tell. She says, you know, she says, I've seen every religion come down the street. I've seen them all. And she started listing off all the groups. She says, this group over here, they pay this one woman 200,000 pesos to come change religions. Now, you want to believe that? I got some land I got to sell you, a bridge to sell you somewhere. But anyway, she goes on and tells about all the religions that she's seen. But you know what? She wasn't impressed with any of them. Wasn't impressed with any of them. And some of those that she named up, I think, were probably preaching the gospel. Yeah. But you know what, brethren? Jesus said many false prophets are going to come. And they're in the world now. And what does the world need to see? They need to see something true. They need to see something real. And so we go to Mexico believing in the power of the gospel. Believing that there's something we can give them. You know what? It's not silver and gold. And brother, we don't even come with healing. We come with the gospel. We come with a message of salvation that can change lives, that can heal people that were born lame from the mother's womb. I'd like to just give testimony to some of these. Mike has told you that we preach twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. We split up into teams. We were preaching around our homes and it just died. There was no response whatsoever. One of the teams went across town into a poor section. And Jesus says the poor have the gospel preached unto them. We went over there and immediately, large crowds, immediately, a Bible study of eight families. We thought, well, you know, maybe we ought to switch our emphasis. You know, why spin our wheels over here beating on doors that don't want to listen? Then Jesus said, if they don't receive you, just shake the dust off your feet and go on. And so we shook the dust off our feet and went on. And that's why you'll see on our map on there, a Colonia partially finished. You know, I think about Jesus coming into his own town. He says he could do no great miracles there because of their unbelief. So we moved over there, and Mike and I, and Joe and Bill, we ran into great response. I mean, people were just amazing. You know, the Bible came alive to me. I mean, just, I think about Jesus preaching, I could never imagine, you know, who in the world, you know, all the preaching I've done up here, I've never seen a crowd gathered around. I preach down in front of the Alamo, nobody stops. Maybe the policeman. But you know, we knocked down the doors and began to preach and large crowds were gathering. We go downtown, large, I'm talking 300 people would gather around to hear us. Out in the streets, 50 people, adults would come out to hear us. And you know what? They said, we wish to hear more of this. We'd like to hear more. They were inviting us back. There was a time Mike and I, we could not get back to our car. Well, you've been studying with these people. Won't you come into my house and study? I mean, you're having a Bible study with them. Won't you come over and study with me? We had one lady follow us for blocks to listen over and over and over again. Amen. And brother, we were so excited about this. We said, well, man, let's bring all the team up here and let's just have a big campaign right here. So we marched through the streets with our children. There's what, 14 of them? Plus us adults, 22 local gringos, crazy, crazy white men. And children and women marching, singing with tambourines and their children knocking on the doors. Come on, we're gonna sing and we're gonna praise God and we're gonna preach the gospel. Come in here. We had a large crowd and we brought with us some typed up songs. We passed them out and began to sing and they began to sing with us. They wanted to listen. And there's one song I can remember they wanted to sing over and over again. Bellas palabras. Beautiful words. Oh, tell it over to me again. I want to hear those beautiful words. And so we sung and we preached and they listened. And we got into Bible studies. And brethren, we have met, I can't say never. The majority of the people that we see saved are the results of Bible studies after the preaching. We'll preach. Those that are interested and want to hear more will invite us into our homes and we'll spend time with them going through the Bible, establishing a foundation. And brethren, it's reconstruction. It's not new construction. It's reconstruction. In other words, we have to destroy the old and build the new. And the problem with a lot of people going down to preach the gospel, they're just preaching the new. And so they just mix it all together. And they have a shaky foundation. It's on shifting sand. You have to destroy the old foundation and lay the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. And so we've seen, I think of Magdalena, happened to come down. She has a stone in her eye. She can't leave. But this one day she happened. Now if you believe in chance, fine. She happened by chance to come by our way. And she heard. And she says, won't you come by my house? Oh, we'd love to. So we came to her home. And we sat there. We had a Bible study with her. She says, I've never heard this before. I'm so glad you came. We exhorted her. She says, do you have a Bible? No, I don't have a Bible. We said, well, how can you know the truth of God without the Word of God? She says, where do I go to get a Bible?
Amen.
And we pointed her in the right direction. She went, and the very next time we came in her home, she had a Bible. It was a Catholic Bible. Some of you say, nobody can get saved out of King James Bible. I want to disprove your myth. I want you to know we took that Catholic Bible and showed that woman the way of salvation. We studied with her. I mean, we come back and she says, I've been reading this Bible and what you've been telling me is true.
Amen.
It says there is a hell. And she says to me, I will never forget it to my dying day. She says, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. How do I miss this place called hell? I want you to know what great joy it gave to me.
Amen.
I want you to know in faltering Spanish, Micah and I witnessed that lady. And brother, we're not down there for head counts. We're not down there trying to get people to repeat a prayer. We're trying down there to give them the gospel, let God Almighty work in their hearts and do a change.
Amen.
So we told the lady, we explained it as best we could. We went over and over and over and over again the doctrine of Christ. What he did for us. How he died. The futility of religion and the greatness of our God. The vanity of word and the power of the blood.
Amen.
The vanity of the sacerdocio. The priesthood. The priesthood of men. And now we got a new priest, Jesus.
Amen.
We came back one day, the very next week, and she says, I want you to know something. Yes, yes. She says, I know Jesus. I trusted him as my Savior. We said, Magdalena, do you fear hell? No, I have no fear of hell. I want you to know tears were coming down her eyes. I want you to know tears were coming down her eyes, dude. This woman happened by chance to come down and hear the gospel. I want you to pray for Magdalena because we begin to study with her afterwards. We begin to deal with her on her responsibility. But you know, just as soon as there's the power of God falls, the enemy comes in. You know, that's what happened here. They get done preaching and immediately religion says, hey, we got to put a stop to this. I know we can say nothing against it, but we've got to do something. I mean, arrest those men. Forbid them to preach in the name of Jesus. And so what happened with Magdalena? Her husband comes home and she says, I don't want you studying with these men anymore. I don't want you studying the Bible anymore. Well, we can't go to her home anymore. But the lady across the street was coming. And so she invited us to study to her house. And so we began studying with her. And Magdalena would send notes over, I've been reading the Bible and I have a question. She says, would you please send a courier to my home and explain this question? And some questions were awfully difficult to answer. She was reading Matthew. We exhorted and exhorted her, why don't you study John? I mean, but you know, we'd come by, we'd walk in the streets and we'd just peek our head into her store. And said, Magdalena, how you doing? She says, I'm still reading this book.
Amen.
She can't come to the meeting. She says to us one day, I'll never forget this also. She says, she came over to our Bible study. I don't know if her husband knew or not. She comes over and she says, listen, I can't stay long. She says, but my parents want me to go. My mother wants me to go down and talk to the priest. She says, but I've been reading this Bible here. And I've got a problem. I just don't know what to do. And we said, well, Magdalena, what's the problem? It says here in this Bible here not to call any man father. I said, well, yes, it does. She says, you know, I says, from the day I was born, I've called that priest father. And tomorrow I'm supposed to go down and talk to him. I just don't know what to do. So Magdalena, should you obey men or God? She says, I know what to do. Well, we talked to her later. She says, Magdalena, how did it go with the priest? Oh, they didn't want to talk to me. You see, you come with a book, they don't want to talk to you. I want to tell you something. The power of this gospel. I think about this lame man that religion had forsaken. If not forsaken, at least could do nothing for him. I think about the time we were walking in the back hills. There, on the map is a colonia. You see a bunch of red where we preached. Well, they have a new colonia that, I don't know if they're squatters or what, they just build their houses up there. They have no running water. And so we were back there preaching. We knocked on a door. I should say, a cardboard house built of cardboard. a lady comes out, of course, three kids and pregnant. She says to us, she says, now who am I to believe? You tell me you're a man of God. My priest tells me he's a man of God. And we said, ma'am, we've got the word of God to find out who has the truth and who has not. She says, yeah, but my priest says there's many false prophets in the world. That's true, ma'am. And the only way you have to know the difference is the light of God's word. She says, that's all fine and dandy, but I don't know how to read. He says, here you are, strange men coming to my country, my home, and you expect me to reject the religion of my fathers. And she wouldn't listen to it. I went home that night. I said, Lord, I said, if this gospel can't save people like that, then I'm going to forget it. I mean, if there's no power in this gospel I have, then I don't want to be here. I don't want to be just another religion. Well, you know, within a month's time, we were preaching. And that same large crowd, one of the ladies invited me over. This is dealing. I began talking with her. And she says, I don't know how to read. I appreciate your gospel tract, but I don't know how to read. I thought, oh my, the frustration is setting in. How do you deal with these people? I mean, some of them you may never get to talk to again, so you think there's a little bit of hope. I leave them a gospel tract and they can read it. Maybe they'll send off to the correspondence school and they'll begin to study the word on their own. Or maybe they'll take the encouragement and take what we give out, little portions of the Bible. Maybe they'll begin reading, and maybe by the power of God, God will use the sword of the Spirit and pierce their hearts. Yet this woman can't read. What are we going to do? Oh, can you not say those cannot read? Well, this lady, her name's Asidra, she began showing up. We'd have Bible studies. She'd hear about it. She began showing up at these Bible studies. She says, I can't read, but I can listen. I can hear. And we began talking to her. She got saved. And brethren, that's why I'm in Mexico. Because there is power in the gospel. Even to save those. When I said to myself, it's impossible. Ah, but with God, all things are possible. Ah, Abraham said, who against hope he believed in hope. Ah, when all the things in our eyesight says, no way. The waves are too big. It's impossible to do it. Yes, there's power in the gospel to save those that cannot even read.
Amen.
Power. I think of Alberto. We come onto his street. We knocked on all the doors. Bill and I were preaching. Nobody responded. Now that gets frustrating. It happens often. You know, it's really great when everybody says, yeah, we want to hear more. We want to hear more. But you know, that's the exception. That's the exception. Generally, it's years of nobody wants to listen. It's years of just preaching to one or two kids and they're not even listening. They're shooting marbles or something. But you know, well, we got two, you know, we were preaching to two out there tonight. It wasn't it glorious? We had two. So we preached on the street. I can't even pronounce the name. Popocatépetl or some crazy name. Popocatépetl. Como? See, you guys can't even say it either. What are you laughing at? So we preached on the street. Nobody responded. As we were walking back to the car, we parked our car by chance in front of a mechanic shop. The man says, hey, wait. Yes, sir. He says, look. He says, I'm sorry. He's got grease all over his hands. He says, I wanted to come and hear you, but I've been working. Now, you know, I've got my job to do. Could you tell me about the law? Of course we could, you know. Sure. So we gathered around there. 8, 9 men. Drunkards. Dope addicts. Now, in León is the leather capital of Mexico. They make all types of shoes and leather goods. And so the cheap drug is glue. The kids have put this glue around and they'll walk around sniffing it. And they don't even know their name. They don't even know where they live. They don't even know if they're married or not. And some of them come, we thought, well, my, these guys can't even hear us. But we came anyway. A young man, Alberto, all the missionaries came up to help. I still have the Bible study. Janice and I were still down there. And I go out there. I thought, oh man, you know, I can't even hardly speak Spanish very well. And these guys, you know, they're rough. These guys are just soon cut your throat as look at you. So I went there. I said, Lord, can you save me? So we went there. We dealt with them month after month. This is last September into October, into November, into December, into January. We dealt with them. We dealt with them. And we dealt with them. We dealt with them. Bible study. Some would come. But Alberto was always there. Some would come and some would go. But he was always there. Him and Nacho, or Narciso. He was always there. And so we had a meeting in a park. Mike was telling us about how we had a park by a house or a meeting in a dead part of town. We happened by chance, this park downtown. We said, well, let's move to this one. And so we had a meeting there. We had a large crowd our first time. More than a combined of all our meetings before, we had a large crowd. Alberto and Narciso come. They tell us, you know what? We've trusted the Lord.
Amen.
About the same time, another young lady from the very first Bible study we had over in the Colonia, España, a young lady and her mother, she says, yes. We've also trusted the Lord. And brethren, it's more we're in Mexico. Because there's power in the gospel to save those that were born lame from the womb. And those that religion is discarded, there's power to save.
Amen.
Brethren, I tell you this because all the time we would report back, well, you know, what can we tell you? And we don't have numbers to tell you. We don't have a church. What can we tell you? I wanted to tell you that God was working. God was preparing hearts. God was dealing. God was out in the clay pit binding some clay. And God was hauling that clay into the potter's house to begin to work. And brother, that's why we're in Mexico, because we believe in the power of the gospel. I want to tell you about Bernardo. We was down preaching. I believe Joe was the first one to contact him. They'd gather around and they'd look at it and they said, well, our priest can answer all these questions. And Joe says, I doubt it. Well, let's go see. So 40 of them march with Joe into the cathedral. And of course the priest immediately, you know, clear the deck, man. Let me find a place to hide. They don't want to confront Bible believers. They don't want to, I mean, darkness flees from light.
Amen.
I mean, they don't want to see the light. They don't want to know the truth because their deeds are evil. That's what it says in John chapter 3. And so Joey runs up there. He said, sir, we'd like to talk to you about the Bible. Do you have a Bible? Well, I've got one somewhere. She says, listen, I really don't have time to talk. I'm about ready to start the mass. Yeah, but there's 40 of them ready and willing to talk. And one of them was about an hour. He says, well, we want to talk. Do you have a Bible? He says, well, I just don't know where it's at. He says, it's up in the, I don't even know what it's called. There's a room up there. He says, but I don't know where, I don't have the key and I just don't really know where it's at. My friends, the priests don't read the Bible. They don't know the Bible. But Bernardo was there and he came back to our downtown preaching week after week. And you know what? He was a saved man. He'd gotten saved like 3 years earlier, but he was saved in one of these religions that, you know, you're saved today and you're lost tomorrow. One of these wishy-washy people. And he really wasn't sure if he was saved or not. He began dealing with it. He'd come over to the house. You know what? Bernardo's been coming out faithfully to the meetings. Why? Because of the power of the gospel. I'd like to tell you about Leonardo. Leonardo was a friend of Bernardo. And so, Leonardo, yeah, this is good. Hang on, folks. So Leonardo says to Bernardo, I'd like to come talk to your friend, Bernardo. He says, okay, fine, Leonardo, let's go. So Bernardo and Leonardo came over to my house. And Leonardo says, you know, he says, I've been going to this church. He says, but you know, he says, there's some things there's something wrong. They speak in tongues there. And I said, do you speak in tongues? He said, yeah, I speak in tongues, but you know, I only do it because they're doing it. I said, and all my friends, well, you know, we're all down there and we all speak in tongues because, you know, that's what everybody else is doing. I want you to know, my friends, there's a lot of fraud in the world.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's just not the lost out there deceiving people. A lot of Christians have been deceived and God says, be not deceived. He says, you know, he says, this ain't real. I'm looking for something real. He says, here, you know, we claim to have the miracles and all the gifts. He says, but we don't have anybody down doing what you're doing. You guys are preaching. He says, you know, I'm convinced that's what we ought to be doing. And so Leonardo and Bernardo have been coming out. Well, this Leonardo come to find out. He's one of the real leaders. He's got a lot of potential and God is using him.
Amen.
I could go on and on. Let me tell you one more. If people is our business. I could talk about these people. I'd like to tell you about Enrique. Enrique Sanchez and his family. And his family. And his family. I don't know if you've ever been to Mexico, but his family. They always tell me I'm casi Mexicano because I have four children. I'm almost Mexican because I have four kids myself. But anyway, Enrique Sanchez comes out to the meeting. As we say, we don't have a building. Some of you are waving and no doubt you're saying, man, it's hot in here. You know, it could be raining. Huh? We sat many a time with an umbrella and our Bibles out there getting wet and praising God. We sat many a time with blankets and coats shaking. Not because we were filled with the Spirit, because it was cold. So when Enrique comes, he happens to be one of these that just drops in. And so Joe begins to deal with him afterwards. We try to talk to those that come and he begins to deal with him. Come to find out he's a Jehovah's Witness. I want you to know there's 4,000 Jehovah's Witnesses in León, Guanajuato. 4,000. 4,000. We are out there on the end of the world. You turn right and you get off. But the Jehovah's Witnesses have already been there. They've already been there. I want you to know they put in a lot of hours. And Christians complain, you know, well, it's getting a little bit late, you know. Star Trek's coming on tonight. Huh? Well, is that not on anyway? I don't know what you guys watch anymore. What do you guys watch up here? Batman or something? I don't know. But anyway, they've already been there. And so we come to find out he's a Jehovah's Witness. And I want you to know our policy is that we give him one shot. Mostly so that those that are around can hear. We realize that we generally don't win them. And ha, ha, ha. But the power of the gospel.
Amen.
Joe and I, we go and visit Enrique and his family. And we go and talk to him. There's a young man named Raul comes to speak with him. Or is part of the family of Enrique. Or a neighbor. He began talking with him. We're dealing on different subjects. You know, is Jesus God? Yes, Jesus is God. Yeah, but we don't believe that. And we go on. And if you ever dealt with Jehovah's Witnesses, you do this. That wheel you're talking about, Dale? You're on there for a long time. You're just going around and around. And after a while, you just say, that's enough. We're done. I mean, it's obvious that you're not interested in the truth. You're just spinning wheels. Well, these people were sincere. But it didn't appear to us at first. And so, by chance, we got on the subject of soul. And that, by chance, it happened to be that day. I said, you know, he said, I need to write some verses down on the soul. Because they say, no, the soul and the body, it's all one. But the Bible says you have a spirit. You have a soul. And you have a body. There's three. Just as God, there's a spirit. He has a soul and he has a body. Amen. We're made in the image of God. And so I happened by chance to write down some verses. And they asked, what about the soul? They used a verse in Ezekiel. Joe, do you remember the verse? He says, the soul that sinneth shall die. And they used that verse to prove that it's just the body. And Joe says, and the soul that doesn't sin? And began to think. Well, we dealt with them. They said, listen, we want you to come back because we're bringing in the big boys next week.
Amen.
Okay, we'll give you a fair chance. And so the Bible says two times, right? You give them two shots and that's it. This ain't baseball. This is Bible. You only get two strikes. Two strikes and you're out. And so we came back and the big boys were there. And so we were dealing with them. Going opening the Bible and we're dealing with them. And the man says, what did he say? He says to it emphatically, he says, the Bible never says Jesus was adored. I said, would you repeat that, sir? He says, the Bible says Jesus was never adored. Nobody ever bowed down before Jesus and worshiped him. I said, sir, would you repeat that one more time? I didn't quite hear that. We're not guileless. He says, the Bible says that Jesus as a man only, or an angel, who knows what this particular group thought. Jesus was never adored. I said, sir, you're wrong. I am not wrong. And so we turn to John in chapter 9 where it says, the blind man bowed down and worshipped him. I said, sir, what does that say? He began to whisper. I said, sir, what does that say? Well, I said, you was wrong. And he wanted to change the subject. I said, wait a minute, sir. I says, it says here that Jesus was worshipped. You was wrong. And he wanted to change the subject. I said, sir, we're not moving on until you confess your fault. That you was wrong. That you was mistaken. He says, I was wrong. He says, but I have another point. He says, I don't listen to people that are wrong. And so we began dealing with his partner. And so finally, you know, you go in that circle. And I said, Joey, that's it. And so I got up. I says, as far as I'm concerned, you've rejected the truth and we're going. And out the door we went. We got in our court car and I says to Joe, I said, Joe, that family will probably end up in hell. I thought they're just so blind. And you know, my eyes were sort of blind too. You see, I forgot about the power of the gospel.
Amen.
I forgot about that, you know, there's a spirit of God using a sort of spirit.
Amen.
I forgot about, yes, Jesus opened the eyes of the blind.
Amen.
Yes, I forgot that Jesus raised the dead.
Amen.
Yes, I forgot that God has the power to raise from the dead. God has the power to heal those that were born lame from the womb. The very next Sunday, Enrique Sanchez and his family showed up at the meeting in the park. And I thought, oh no. He's going to come in and disrupt the meeting. We are in trouble now. And so you're sort of apprehensive. You know, you You know what I'm talking about. You get these guys. I mean, you know, you can't tell what they're going to do. So after the meeting, when I immediately went to him. And he says, listen, I got something to tell you. He says, I believe that Jesus is God.
Praise the Lord.
I says, what? He says, I believe that Jesus is God. I says, would you tell me that one more time? I'm not catching that. That's not registering. I believe that Jesus is God.
Yeah.
But you know, I was sort of doubting Thomas. I still didn't believe it. I said, no. I says, there's no way. But you know, he went back to his home and his whole family believed. And he began to explain to us what happened. That one little comment that Joe made in the soul that doesn't sin, it began to gnaw on him. And we have a study on Jehovah's Witnesses. Or for Jehovah's Witnesses, it shows you all the verses. It shows that Jesus is God. That Jesus was worshipped. That he is the creator. All the verses. That he's the Alpha and Omega. That he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That he is Jehovah. And so these people who through our eyes thought, no way. There's no way. There's no hope for these people. God the Holy Spirit was working. And that night, they looked up all those verses.
Amen.
All those verses in all five Bibles that they had. Jehovah's Witness Bible, Catholic Bible, the two versions, other versions. They had them laid out to find out. They searched the scriptures. I want you to know that family got saved.
Amen.
Enrique Sanchez, his family got saved. And brethren, I believe it happened just like the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 10, I believe it happened to them. Just like Peter was preaching to the Gentiles and why he's preaching, they believed.
Wow.
He says, when you guys were preaching, we believed it right then and there.
Amen.
That Jesus was indeed the Christ.
Amen.
The Son of the living God.
Amen.
Brother, that's why we're there. The power of the gospel. You know, this Enrique Sanchez comes the next week. He says, brother, he says, you know, he says, them Jehovah's Witnesses are deceived. He says, you know, he says, we need to burn that factory down. I said, amen. He said, but you know, we need to get the people out first.
Amen.
Huh? Isn't that what it's all about, brethren?
Amen.
We're in the business of giving the gospel to people that need to hear it.
Amen.
And I'm so glad that there's power in the gospel.
Amen.
To save them that believe.
Praise you, Lord
Jesus.
Let's stand.
Get the people out first.
Yeah, burn the factory down, but get the people out first. Amen. We're people. Amen. You know, we have a chorus we've sung around here lots of times. I'd like to sing it for an invitation tonight. I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord. I wonder tonight, my friend, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not saved. I want you to know there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he died that you might be saved. We'd invite you to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And you know, we recommend you repent of your religion. We recommend you repent of your works. We recommend you turn. Leave that religion and leave your works and take Jesus on. Because he's your only hope. Only way you're ever going to get saved. Maybe God's spoken to you in another way tonight. Maybe God's dealing with your heart in another way tonight. Whatever it might be, if the Lord's laid something on your heart, you'd like to come, we give you invitation to come. Somebody will deal with you. Somebody will help you. Maybe God's dealing in your heart. Maybe there's something you need to be doing. He's impressed it on you tonight by the Holy Spirit of God. You do that, okay? I want to do that with the Lord.
I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord.
Have a burden, any need, you have a question, you'd like to talk to somebody, why, people are our business. You are our business. We'd be glad to spend our time with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. Lord, it's been a good night. How we rejoice in this day from the very beginning. Oh, God, we ask you to have your way and will in each of our lives. We commit ourselves and this people to thee and thy word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.